Good morning, this is Stephen McCarthy from the McCarthy Project, and we are doing a special report today due to the Kona Ironman Championships coming up later this week. And so for today's show, I thought we would have Chris Swarthout back on the show. He's been a regular guest of ours over the last 7 months, and he has a very extensive background with the youth and USA Triathlon, as well as developing the young athletes in Minnesota. Chris, how are you doing today?
Very good, Stephen. Very good.
Cool. Well, it is a big week. You know, it seems though Kona always has the allure of lots of really cool things happening, a lot of really cool stories. What have you heard and what's going on?
Well, you know, every year there's lots of pomp and circumstance that build up to it. You know, everybody wants to see, you know, what pros are racing and you know, what's the new equipment that's going to be coming out. The industry has really started to get behind, you know, the mechanics of it. So they actually have people that sit and count the types of wheels that everybody's using, the types of handlebars that everybody's using, and they have this big count. So, you know, Cervelo can brag that they have the most bikes on the line, or, you know, Head can brag that they have the most wheels on the line. So that's always, you know, that's always kind of fun to see. And I've never seen that firsthand, but, you know, there are some, you know, with Ironman, especially with Kona, you know, it's its 35th year. So that's going to be a fun thing to have. You know, the very first one was in 1978, and you know, it was 15 people who wanted to see, you know, what if swimmers, bikers, and runners were, you know, who was the strongest of all three of those. And probably my very favorite story from that very first one was, I listened to, and I can't remember the guy's name, I met him in a Hall of Fame banquet, and he was telling me, he's like, you know, when I knew when my race wasn't going good, I said, when? He goes, when, as I was on the run, the newspaper for the next day was being delivered, and it had the results of the winners in it. So
yeah.
That's when I knew it wasn't going well. It's like, okay, I could see that. That's a pretty good one. Now, none of our athletes will do that anymore. You know, do that, and you know, the athlete that I'll be there supporting specifically is, you know, my athlete Cindy Blackstock, and you know, she has an incredible story, and I know you've talked to her, and she is, you know, I could go
on
and on about
show.
That.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I'm really much looking forward to chat. I haven't chatted with her yet. But go ahead.
You know, but you know, there's some things that everybody always, you know, you know about, and some of the iconic things that occur around, you know, the World Championships in Kona are, I think the biggest thing is the underpants run. You ever heard of the underpants run before?
No, I was going to ask you. The next question was going to be, what was the funniest story you've ever heard or the weirdest thing ever done?
So the Thursday before the race, because the race occurs on a Saturday, the Thursday before the race, a group of people for a long time have gathered to do this 1.2-mile run in their underwear. And it has been known widely as the underpants run. And it's amazing how many people come out for this thing now. And it's now a charitable donation race. But you have probably, you know, a couple hundred people that go out in their whitey-tighties or their skivvies and run along the beach and through the town. And I've never done it before. And actually was on earlier today planning out whether we were going to be doing whitey-tighties, boxer briefs. Do you do just straight boxers? What's exactly the protocol for that? And so,
yeah, what are friction points do you got that are going to be different? I can just see that being one of those fun things that you do with the underwear rub in the different spot, and all of a sudden you got this big gash in your leg.
Well, when you see you got people that wear heart rate monitors for this thing, you know, so they're out there running in their underwear with heart rate monitors on and GPSs, and it's just, you know, it's just silly. But if you Google underwear run, you'll see some pretty funny stuff. You know, there's been a lot of pomp and circumstance with some of the celebrities that are going to be racing this year. You know, you always see people that are brought out. One of the people is Hines Ward. Hines is a ex-NFL football player, and he's been training under Paula Newby Fraser, who is the most successful woman Ironman in history. And Paul has been coaching Hines to do his very first Ironman, and it's going to be at Kona. So that's going to be interesting to see how he does. You know, it's kind of this everyman Ironman.
I could just see him trying to get into a wetsuit if he was able to wear one. That would have been a sight to behold. getting a short, stocky young man like himself.
He's been doing fairly well. You know, he has done he's done at least one half that I saw the record of, and it was okay. I mean, nothing to brag about, but you know, there he'll be out there and people will be following him. Another one is Chef Gordon Ramsay will be racing Ironman also. He is the guy from Hell's Kitchen. You know, he's famous. He's a famous British chef, and he's most widely known for yelling at people. So we'll see how many people give it back to him on the race day, you know, yelling at him. Different and, you know, obscenities and stuff.
No, triathlon fans never yell. They always encourage everybody.
It's very, very supportive. But we'll see. We'll see what happens there. So those are some of the celebrities that will be out there racing. You know, the pro game is going to be always something to watch. There's always a lot of pomp and circumstance about who's gonna win, who's not gonna win. I don't know. You know, I don't know that I've, you know, Chris McDonald is one of the guys that I would like to see win. I'd like to see Leander Cave win on the women's side. But it's always somebody that comes from, you know, usually there's always an X factor, somebody out of nowhere that will come and mix things up. You know, we're not going to have too many of the old guys racing this year. So, you know, Chris McCormick won't be racing. He's injured. You know, don't know if Craig Alexander will be racing. And, you know, Craig or Crowe has been quite prolific. He's got a couple of championships under his belt, too. So we'll see how it goes. It's always going to be interesting to watch. But to be quite honest with you, I don't know that I'll be paying much attention to the pro race at all. Since I'll be out there for Cindy, that's where...
And she has a very interesting story. Could you share a little bit from your perspective what you've seen about
her? I mean, you know, just in a nutshell, in case you know, no one knows what her background is or haven't heard or don't listen. You know, Cindy took third in her age group at Ironman Wisconsin in 2013. In 2012, and so she qualified for the Hawaiian World Championships in Kona on her own. So that was a valid championship qualification. She didn't get gifted a spot. She didn't, you know, get in a roll down. She didn't win in a lottery. She won it. She had a solid race. And I'd coached Cindy for 2 years prior to that. And she's an amazing athlete. You know, she owns a business. She's got two young kids. You know, she's a wife, a mother. I mean, she's a busy lady, but she's an incredible athlete, an incredible runner, and balances it all out. So she wins. So she takes third in her age group, gets her slot. Less than a month later, she has her first mammogram. She's diagnosed stage 3 breast cancer, and that's a big thing. See, you know, they couldn't feel anything, but in the MRI, it showed I think it ended up being a 6-centimeter mass in her left chest. They take it out, double mastectomy, 4 rounds of chemo, and that's pretty much her off season. Through this whole thing, you know, she's really determined that she wants to try and get back to racing, but she's not. You know, We were, you know, I was there, we were talking and just essentially just kind of keeping her positive and stuff. But, you know, I wasn't coaching or giving her workouts during that time, but just, you know, being by her side, being supportive. She gets on the other side of that, doctor signs off, she starts to feel good. She wants to train. She says, I'm going to do it. So she makes the conscious decision. She still has her slot. Within 6 months, she's back at training again after basically beating cancer. So she did the Ironman with cancer in her. She beats the cancer. And on the other side, she's now going to go and race at the World Championships. I don't know anybody who's ever done that before. Anybody. And this woman has surprised me every day that I've ever been with her. Her family is amazing. Her husband used to be my boss and now is a really good friend of mine. And I just am blessed to be a part of the story and to even be considered to be part of what has brought her to where she's at. But my job is to, you know, we're traveling together and to take her out. And so the plan is and how I will be taking care of her. And this is, you know, in case athletes are looking to say, you know, what do you do, you know, when you go to Kona, when you get there? Well, you know, trying to get there a week ahead of time. Big thing is you try and demystify some of the iconic things that the island is defined by, the wind and the heat and the lava fields, the energy field, the turn on Javi, riding the Queen K. a Leahy Drive, swimming in the ocean, all those things. You're trying to eliminate some of the mystique of it. So we're gonna ride certain portions of the race course, throughout the week, and we're gonna run certain portions of the run course throughout the week, and we're gonna swim every morning, and get her used to the ocean and get her used to the heat. Gonna rest her really well because she needs to kind of decompress because she's been trying to push a week's worth of work into like one day almost sometimes it seems like, and that's really the kind of the driving thing for me is to get her 100% safe, 100% acclimated, and then fully rested going into the race. And if those things can happen, she's going to have a great day. I know she's going to have a great day. I just need her to know that. And kind of like the little joke that I've told her, because there's very, this is a very emotional journey for her and for all of us, is that I told her, I said, if you can cry any time on the race course you want, but you can't cry during the swim because your goggles will fill up and you won't be able to see. So as long as she gets through the swim without crying, we're all good.
Yes. Yes, it is I think, even the simple fact of being there and attempting is victory. You know what I mean? You hear the stories of people that are not able to make this quick of a turnaround. And it really is a fascinating thing. And then I'm going to ask one other question and I'll let you go because I know that time was limited. But what is, beyond the more general things, what are a couple of her traits that make her different? Because a lot of people have families and a lot of people are willing to invest. But what makes her special beyond at more a personal level?
Two things. She's a great, she has a great running background. She came into triathlon as an incredible runner. And that's, I think, really one thing that we bank on, that she's always had this, spectacular run capability. So that's one. Number two, she is one of the most stubborn people that I know. almost to a fault.
Positive.
I know, almost to a fault. And that's, but that's kind of what drives her, never quit philosophy. She's never going to quit anything. And, there's always kind of this ongoing knowledge that if I put something on her training plan, she's going to do it come hell or high water. She may have to get up at 3 a.m. to get it done, but she's going to do it. So I really have to be conscious of that. Cause that can go both for her and against her. And if I don't balance that correctly, then I could, break her very easy because she will. If it's on paper, she'll do it. So I have to be very conscious of that. And I think for people, they have to understand that, some people might want to believe that they do that. But if you get into a point where that's all you do is do what people tell you, you really have to choose your Yoda carefully because, the force is not strong with everybody. There are people out there who want to tell you that they know what they're doing and they know how to lead you, but they're not. They don't. You have to have somebody who knows what they're talking about, that has your best interest in mind, and you want to feel like when they're working and they're talking and they're coaching, that you're their only client. And that's the way I really strive to make her feel. Because, she's very important. She's vested into me, and so she knows that that I'll sit there and bleed and cry with her, but I'll never let her down. And therefore she trusts everything that I do. And that's kind of scary sometimes from a coach's side that, that you could put somebody in the ground if you wanted to, so to speak. And, you don't want to ever do that. So.
Well, I think it shows a lot of wisdom as you, as a coach, because so many people want to have, I'm known because I kick people's butt, or they are so one-dimensional. I'm known because I do this specific diet or some just marketing ploy. And it's like, you have to realize that each individual is different. Each individual thinks differently. And how you think is a big, big piece of that. And I think that shows a lot of wisdom on your part. So thank you very much, Chris. I always enjoy chatting. I wish you all the luck next week. We'll be watching and hopefully we'll be able to have all the fancy technology up so we can watch Cindy as she goes through the day.
And people can watch Cindy race at IronmanLive.com. It's from Central Standard Time. It's going to be 5 hours later. So the race starts at 7 a.m. The race coverage, I believe, starts at 3 a.m. local time in Kona. You can watch the race soup to nuts, front to back, online. There'll be webcasts the whole day long, so there'll be actually a big panel of experts that'll be there. And then watch the NBC broadcast about a month later, and you might be surprised who you see on it.
All right, Chris. Thank you very much.
See you, Stephen.